So, a few weeks back, talked about rest, the Sabbath, chapter 2 of Genesis, and there were some good questions for me afterwards about that, and I said, yeah, I want to address that issue, that topic, in the evening service. So here we are, going to talk about the Christian and the Sabbath. Now, what questions, and this isn't a rhetorical question, comes to your mind when you think about the Christian and the Sabbath? What question? What's that? Is it required? Restate that. Do I have to observe the Sabbath? Thank you. Any other questions? Go. What day is it that I might have to keep it? Right? One of you guys want to speak up and be honest and say you don't even know what the word Sabbath means? You know? What does it mean? Okay, good, excellent. What questions come to your mind about the topic of the Christian and the Sabbath? Anything? Cannon's going to raise his hand for you. What can I do or what can't I do? Right? Is that a fair way of restating your question? I made him restate his question because he's in seminary. Okay, so you, I'll restate it for you. Right, so what day, what can I do, do I have to do, what can I do, what shouldn't I do? Right? Those are very legitimate questions. Right? Yes, Nolan. Why what? Why am I asking questions? Yeah. Did your dad whisper that in your ear? That's the question. Too often, we approach God's Word with that mindset. Okay, what do you want me to do? What can I do? What can I do? And let's be honest, when we're in that mode too, we want to know where the line is. And if this is the line, right? If that's the line, and I think God says, don't go over that line, what do we tend to do? Woo, we dance on it. Yeah, right up on the edge. Oh, I didn't cross it. The bigger issue is why. What is it about? What's going on with that? And when God is clear about what we are to do and not to do, right? May I draw from the sermon this morning, right? He's not trying to keep us from good. He's trying to keep us more good. And so we could look at a different way. When he makes it clear what we shouldn't do and what we should be doing, we could be saying, this is what I get to do. But the heart of answering that or getting at that and considering that and looking at the Sabbath from the right mindset, if you will, needs to start with why. Why? What's the Sabbath about? Now, I could go back to, and it's in the notes for you, Genesis chapter 2, and the simple answer is because God said the seventh day is the Sabbath day, a day of rest. He rested from creating all that he created. And that is the right answer. But Jesus gives us some insight into it that takes us a little further, in a sense, and challenges us with our perspective on the Sabbath to begin with. If you want to turn with me to Mark 2. And my real number one concern tonight is more so how you view the Sabbath than getting into all the details and covering all these verses. I'm not planning on doing that. That's why I have an outline for you. It's really a resource page if you want to look these things up for yourself and not just take my summary words for stock value. I suggest you go ahead, please, by all means, look these things up. But I want us to kind of be challenged in our thinking about the Sabbath. So turn to Mark 2, verses 23 to 28, and my bold, uninspired heading has, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. Before I read it, join me in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revealing yourself, making yourself known through your word, Father, by your Spirit. Do that tonight, please. Speak to us that we would rightly know you in what you have established and set forth in this issue of the Sabbath. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Mark 2:23. One Sabbath, which was which day of the week for them? Saturday, the last day of the week. You guys all thought Monday was the first day of the week, right? No. That's just the day where you got to start doing things, right? It's Sunday. Historically, Sunday's the first day of the week. Saturday would be the seventh or the last. So for them, it was talking about Saturday as far as which day goes. So one Sabbath, he was going through the cornfields. And as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck ears of corn. Can you just hear the tone of condemnation and the looks from the Jews, particularly the religious leaders, as they did this and enter the religious leaders who knew what the Scripture said but knew not God. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are you doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? It's not what you're supposed to do. Picking corn, that's work. You're not supposed to work. This is what you're not supposed to do." And the he here is Jesus, God the Son, born of a virgin. He said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him." And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So we have a slightly different but not unrelated answer to the question of why the Sabbath here. Why the Sabbath? Well, Genesis chapter 2, God did it, set the precedence, seventh day, rest from work. Yes. Jesus says here that it was made for man, people, not people for the Sabbath. That's exactly what's going on there in Genesis, right? Who came first? Adam or the Sabbath? Adam, yeah. And then the Sabbath. Now, God rested from the work of creation, but he's still sustaining, upholding all that exists. He still, in one sense, is working. But he rested, ceased his work from creation, and set forth there that day of rest for man to follow. And it was for man. And if man were to obey that, if Adam would have obeyed that, if the Israelites would have obeyed it for the right reason, they would, in doing so, they would have honored God. And Jesus here, first they're bothered by corn being picked, and then Jesus tells them he's Lord of the Sabbath. So the Sabbath is for man, but not in and of man himself. Let me say it this way. The Sabbath is for man's good. And when the man trusts God and honors the Sabbath, you honor God. God is glorified in this case. The Lord is obeyed and honored. They knew what you should and shouldn't do. Or did they? At least in this section they did. You can't pick corn. Not on the Sabbath. And what does Jesus do? He takes them right to the Word of God. To what David did. And David was not struck dead or anywhere along the lines condemned by God for eating that bread. But in that particular moment, in that particular time, it was acceptable, though normally it wasn't lawful. Why? How is that? Because what was beneficial or good for David and the others with him in that moment is what's most important, because after all, the Sabbath was for man, for people, for man's good. Not for man to be a slave to it. And you look down just the very next chapter, verse 1. And he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. So if he entered the synagogue, the idea here is it's the Sabbath again. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to pick corn or not? They knew the answer. Is it ever lawful to eat the bread of presence that only the priest could eat from? They would have said no, but David did it. But here it's not about picking corn. It's not about work. It's about healing a man. And he asked them this question. He asked them the question, is it lawful, acceptable before God on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm? To save life or to kill? And their answer was, exactly. They didn't know what good was. They didn't know that the Sabbath was for their good. They just wanted laws. And they added laws to their laws so they could pat themselves on the back and point fingers at others. They made a big mistake because they pointed at the Lord of the Sabbath, who is rebuking them here, which is grace, the kindness of God, trying to reorient their thinking. Yes, there are instructions, particularly for them as Jews, under the Mosaic Covenant, the law that was given. Yes, there were. But don't miss the heart of the matter, so to speak. Don't miss why the Sabbath is there. It's for man, not man for the Sabbath. And the Lord is Lord of the Sabbath. So guess what? On the Sabbath, if you're wondering about whether or not you can do something or not, here's the question you should be asking. Is this going to benefit a person? Is it going to bring them what is good for them? He gives a couple other examples. I'm not going to take you there. I put the Luke references there for you. But, you know, your neighbor's ox falls in a hole on the Sabbath. Are you going to get him out? Yeah, because it might die, and that'd be bad. Someone's got a flat tire on a Sunday, and they need help changing it. Oh, well, sorry, I said Sunday, but, you know, Sabbath, right? Oh, no, I can't help you change your tire. You just stay stuck here on the side of the road. We're misunderstanding the point he's basically telling them. And we miss the point if we only ask those legitimate questions. What day of the week? What can we do? What can't we do? But we might even get those right and be wrong if we forget what he said about the purpose of the Sabbath. For his glory. He's the Lord of it. How is he glorified? By doing good. Why would he be glorified by that? Because God is good. He knows what's good. And he intends good for us, not keeping us from good. But what do? God says don't cross that line. I'm going to dance on it. Wrong mindset. Someone crosses it. Ha! Judgment! Wrong mindset. I didn't cross it. Matter of fact, I added law upon law upon law, so I'm three lines in the other direction. That's where we go. That's where they went. It's the wrong starting point. If anything happens tonight, I want your thinking about the Sabbath turned upside down. What is the point of it? What is the point of it? It's for God's people, not the people for it. And he's the Lord of it. So how is he honored in it? Oh, it's really simple. Is that which is being done bringing about good for other people, particularly God's people? Now, as to which day of the week, again, for them it was the seventh day, that would be Saturday. But where did all this Sunday being the Lord's Day stuff come from with Christians? How did that happen? Well, again, it's here in the outline for you. You go look it up. But there was a transition that sort of took place. And in the midst of that transition, there was also, interestingly enough, no instructions given to the non-Jewish church regarding the Sabbath. That's really interesting. Turn with me to this passage in Acts chapter 15. See, it took a handful of years before Peter and the rest of the Jewish Christians realized that the good news, as we call it, the gospel about Jesus, this Jewish carpenter having been raised from the dead for the forgiveness of our sins, who will return to judge the living and the dead, Jew and Gentile alike, but whoever, Jew and Gentile alike, believes in him receives forgiveness of their sin. It took them a handful of years, I think at least six. I'm a little blurry on what I was studying back in the day, but I know from Pentecost through Acts chapter 10, it was more than just a few pages. There was years in there. And Peter and the Jews were only hanging out with Jews and only telling Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. And then, particularly through Peter, whom Jesus said, "On this rock I will build my church." Peter, who preached on the day of Pentecost to all the Jews, particularly through Peter, God made it clear that he's always intended for the Gentiles to be blessed and included. And they're to hear the gospel too. So Peter eats with them, or he goes into their house with them. He probably ate with them. But he entered their home, which he shouldn't have by law, but he did. And he preached Jesus, the Messiah, to them. And they believed, just like Peter and the rest of the Jews had on Pentecost, received the Holy Spirit the same way they happened to have on Pentecost. And Peter's like, "Huh, I get it now." It took being really, really hungry and getting a vision of food that I was told I could eat, though I wasn't supposed to eat it according to the law, and then a knock on the door immediately after that, and I'm brought, I get it now. And then he goes back home to Jerusalem. And, oh man, he's got to answer to those Jews. "What were you doing going into the household of Gentiles, and you even offered them baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the Son being our Messiah?" And he explains it to them. And then later on, there's some Jews that come down from Jerusalem, and they go up to Antioch, and they say, "You've got to follow the law." Well, that would include the Sabbath. But especially circumcision. Circumcision, Sabbath, no eating meat with blood in it. They got to follow it. Well, they come to realize, looking at what God had already said in his word in Acts 15, that the non-Jews did not have to have the yoke of the law put upon them. But they gave them some instructions. And if you look in Acts 15, he's going to pick up in verse 19. As they debated this whole issue of the non-Jews, verse 19 of Acts 15, "Therefore my judgment," this is James speaking, "is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but we should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he has read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Whole issue there to wonder about these instructions and everything else, but notice what's missing. Honor the Sabbath by making Saturday the day that you recognize the Sabbath and honor the Lord of it. No instruction there on that. And as you go through Acts, and again, these verses are in your in the outline there for you. Acts 20, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 16, on the first day of the week, when you gather together. And John, in the Gospel of John, in chapter 20, says it was the first day of the week when the tomb was empty. There was this transition that also came about. A movement from the temple, because the Jews basically got to a point where they couldn't even meet there anymore and talk about Jesus the Messiah, to away from the temple, meeting in homes, and then a move from them gathering, those who believed in Jesus as the Messiah, from being on a Saturday to being on the first day of the week when the Lord was raised. And that's how that transition came about to the Christians, Jew and Gentile alike, setting aside the first day of the week to gather together. Now, it's not called the Sabbath, but it's the day that Christians gathered. And the only other instruction we have about rest in the New Testament, and that's what the Sabbath is, right? Day of rest, comes from the book of Hebrews, at least as far as my memory and my reading go. This is where we have some other New Testament letters teaching on the issue of rest, which is connected all the way through the Old Testament scriptures, right back to Genesis chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read these verses and then put it together for us succinctly and clearly. Hebrews chapter 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them. Talking about now, after the resurrection of Jesus, the them is back in the Old Testament times. But the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. So how do you enter the rest? By faith. It's only by faith. Only through faith in God being good, knowing what's good. He wants good for us and honoring what he asks. Yes, there's action. There's works that flow from trusting him. But very specifically, chapter 10 of Hebrews. As Christians, knowing that the context early on in Hebrews has to do with entering this rest through faith in Jesus the Messiah, in Christ, who is greater than the angels, greater than Abraham, greater than Aaron, brings in the covenant, the new covenant, right? Greater sacrifice, once and for all time, right? These instructions are given to those who have entered that rest through faith in Christ. Verse 24 of chapter 10. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Jesus set the Israelites of his day straight, particularly the so-called leaders who had his word, set them straight. The issue is not about what work you can't do, but what work should you be doing? That which is good. Good, particularly for God's people. And what do we have here? That those who have entered the rest in the Messiah, the high priest, the once and for all sacrifice, are to not neglect, put it positively, are to continue to meet together, making a habit of it, in order to encourage one another, spurring one another on to love and good works. And when we're doing that, the Lord of the Sabbath is honored. The Lord of the rest, not the rest of them, rest, is honored. So as far as what day, what can we do, what can't we do, the day would be the Lord's day, because he is the rest. He is the one through whom we enter into that rest being right with our Maker. Children of the Maker of heaven and earth, calling Him Father. So we gather on the Lord's Day, the day He was raised, for us the first day of the week. Not to fulfill and obey some law, per se, but to embrace the good He has for us in making the good of others our greatest concern, and accomplishing that by encouraging one another together as we're gathered. It's a different issue of, or a different way of looking at, what do I have to do or what can I do? What do we get to do? And why do we get to do it? That means not looking for that Sabbath day coming and knowing, oh, well, I got to make sure that everything's in order so that I don't do certain work on Saturday. But instead now under the new covenant going, Sunday's coming. And considering how we can have our lives ordered in such a way so that we don't look like roadkill coming in here Sunday morning. So tired, so whatever, from whatever, that the last thing on our mind is how can I encourage and bless and love and spur on and do good to others around me because I have entered the good of all good. By the grace of God, I am in Christ, and my soul has found rest. You say, well, what does that look like? I don't really want to go there, because you'll make it into laws, and you'll make it into works. But let me ask you this question. How many of you want me staying up way past my bedtime on a Saturday night, coming in here grumpy and groggy and falling asleep when I'm supposed to be proclaiming the Word of God? Anyone want that? No. How many of you want me to view Sunday as the end of the week? Let's just do this. It's what we're supposed to do. Right? Well, I am no different than you. I have a different part to play in the body of Christ, just as everyone has a different part to play. But we get to gather together and spur one another on to love and good deeds. And why? Because God has demonstrated His love for us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now we have a peace, a joy, soul rest in Him who gave His life for us. And the biggest question is not, what can I do? What can I do? But what do we now get to do? And when we head into that day, Sunday, that way, and our hearts just want to serve Him by serving those around us. And yeah, it takes on a different form than Monday through Friday and even Saturday. Then we know the sufficiency of His grace. And the rest that we don't get from doing nothing in a hammock on a warm beach. Or Netflix. Or football or tiddlywinks or whatever it is. Because that's actually, you know, that's actually the route that our culture takes to try and get outside of the church and any kind of legalism. We're not about rest as a culture. We're about a different R word. What R word would you think that would be? Relax through recreation. We're all about recreation. And if I could just get to, and I've said this, I admit it, go surfing, then what? Everything apart from faith is sin. Romans 15 or 16. Right? Everything apart from faith, trust. Trust in what? That God is good. He knows what He's doing. He has good in store for us. And the issue of the Sabbath is not about us being slaves to it, but it was made for us that in it we would honor the Lord of the Sabbath by wholeheartedly doing what is good and beneficial and a blessing to His people in particular. a bigger issue, bigger question than those are legitimate questions. What day? What can we? The bigger question is, why? What's this Sabbath about? And then if we've entered His rest, this is what we get to do. Then you can ferret out and meet out and figure out exactly how you're going to do that or your family's going to do that. But if it doesn't start from that perspective, He's rebuking us there in Mark 2. Sabbath is for man. Not man for the Sabbath. And Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. And the gate to that Sabbath, which means rest, right? That's how we are to think about it now, first and foremost, before we get to the what can I do, word of the mind. As in obedience to anything made clear in God's Word. Anyone know what comes right before the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20 or 19? What chapter is it? 20. What comes right before the first commandment of you shall have no other God before me? Anyone know? Besides Liam. Who what? Brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of slavery. I redeemed you. It's not obey me, and I will make you my people. But I have delivered you. Now, have no other God before me. Never, ever is the motivation to get. It's always gratitude in what we've been given. Yes, I know there's the Mosaic Law, and there's blessings and curses. But that even comes to a people in a land given to them because God is true to His promises. His hesed. Motivation is everything. Why? I love the Lord always addresses those questions and those issues. Questions about the Sabbath? Number one question is why? What's its purpose? What's it about? If you don't have that right, no, it matters. Join me in prayer. Oh, Father, we are... Well, we're proud, self-righteous, and arrogant, and so we want laws, particularly laws that we make up, lines that we draw so that we know we can achieve them, so that we can feel like we've earned the right to be your children, but there is no earning that. It is freely given through Christ who earned it, that through Him we are your children and call you Abba, Father. And even as your children, by grace through faith in Christ, we love to come up with lists of do's and don'ts. And even if they start out with the right desire to be holy because you are holy and have lavished your grace upon us, Father, we tend to get them all wonky and messed up and the things in the wrong order for the wrong reasons. Have mercy upon us that always and only, as it says in 2 Corinthians 15, the love of Christ would compel us. The love of the Lord of the Sabbath would drive us and direct us. That we would make it our ambition to do good because of the good that we do not deserve and never could earn that has been lavished upon us in Jesus, our Lord and the Lord of the Sabbath. Father, grant us this, we ask in Jesus' name.